and a bright sunny afternoon.
Isn't it lovely? Yes.
Right.
I've just come back from our weekly meeting down at the powder mills. We
yes.
We don't do much, but I pop in and have a noggin in the boozer with one or two of them. You know.
Oh, so it's all right for some. Right.
Let's see. I've got a few. Start off with a few questions.
Yeah.
Let's say the first one seems to be, how were you recruited, and any other family members worked there, and your school, etc. Anything background,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh well. How I got there was our chemistry where I went to school, Latimer Edmonton, and after matric, you know, we all had to leave. Well, say all, most of us had to leave anyway, as you know, and it was. Mr. Blackwell, Inky Blackwell, we used to call him, who told me about the job at the Abbey, from Abbey, at the powder mills. But nobody else in the family had ever been or knew anything about it. So that was it. That's how I went there in end of August 39.
Oh, yes.
So anyway... So that was that.
What school did you say you went to? Were you Latimer?
Latimer,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, several of us went there.
Yeah.
Jeek went there.
Yes.
Jeekock, because I was in the same class as Peggy, his wife.
Oh, yes. So, and I think Ozzy was one, wasn't he?
Ozzy. Yeah, he was in my class as well at one time.
He
sent me a letter and I still haven't replied to it. I wonder if he remembers about the fieldcraft school at the Home Guard.
Oh, yes.
Where I got this program.
We go back to that. How did you get to work? Cycle, wasn't it?
Oh, bike. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I was on the bike.
Yeah.
Well, that was one of the real problems, because if the weather was absolutely foul or anything went wrong, getting to work was a bit of a nightmare.
Yes.
You know, from Walthamstow, much the same. I used to walk down to the Edmonton Town Hall, get the trolley bus to Waltham Cross, and then, of course, to get from Waltham Cross to Waltham Abbey was a bit of a lark. The buses were, there were single-decker buses, weren't they, there, and they were few and far between, so on occasions I was late if I went on the bus.
Yes, the cycle was really the only way.
In fact, the cycle was a bit of a barney, because the punctures used to occur, didn't they?
Oh, yes, and the roads were in pretty poor shape, weren't
they? Yeah, and the tram lines were still down.
Yes.
And, you had to cross... when you're on a bike, you had to be sure how you crossed the tram line.
Yes, a narrow angle, and you were off, weren't you?
Yeah, that's right. Many a time I've been off on the later. So that was really a barney, right. Anyway, that was that.
We started about 8.30, wasn't it? 8.30 till 5 was the times. I can't remember. I think it's about then.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, well, I can't remember exactly.
And
no.
There was a Saturday was regular, wasn't it? Every Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Saturday afternoon.
Yes.
Saturday morning,
Saturday
rather.
Morning. Yes.
Yeah, because I was just saying, having got this program for the Battlecraft School, it started at 4 o'clock on Saturday.
Oh, yes.
And went all till 10:30. And then all day Sunday from 7 in the morning, because we were already there, till 5. So, that was really a 7-day week.
Yes.
Because by the time I got home, it was, cycling. And then we had to go from up Honey Lane, High Beach, Beach Hill Park, rather, down to the battalion headquarters and drop everything off there and then get me bike and cycle back home.
It was a pretty full week, wasn't it?
That was around the clock, over and over and over. Yeah.
Did you, you went straight into the lab, spent all your time in the lab, I suppose, didn't you?
Oh, yes, yeah, yes.
What was it, what were you doing? I know you were in the CE for a time, like we all were.
Yeah.
I suppose you went the rounds.
Yes, that's right.
Measurement room.
Yeah, measurement room, and the, spent a lot of time in the balance room, weighing.
Yes.
And when you think of what, how people weigh things now, just put it on the scales and it reads out.
Reads straight off.
And it was very tricky, wasn't it, with beam balances?
Oh, with a little cursor, a little rider on the top.
Oh, yes, yes. And there were about 100 divisions on that beam, weren't there? With a little platinum rider. Old crumbs,
acids and that, were they on the go as well? Did you ever... doing acids and that, I suppose you'd up in the... They were in the fume cupboard in the middle, weren't they? Was Paul Neville and that the bookkeeper there?
Yes. I remember once he went... if we're talking about naughty things that happened.
Yeah.
He went to lunch one day and... in his, he used to put do the records, didn't he, in his book?
Yes.
And we soaked it with calcium. That evil smelling stuff of rotting eggs.
Sulfide.
Calcium.
Sodium sulfide or something.
It's a sulfide.
Yes.
And he came back from lunch and opened his book, and these fumes filled the place, and his language left much to be desired. He had been an actor, hadn't he?
Yes, he had. Yes, right. He was. Occasionally would tell us not much, but a bit about the acting and that. And of course, that would promote comments from old Ted Hitch, who stood opposite. Don't mess about telling us about your acting days. Go on with your work, Neville. There was a sort of love-hate relationship between him and old Ted Holmes. Let's see, what did you used to bring lunch or go to the canteen?
It was either or. I think in the first place you'd take some lunch at that, of course, in wartime that in itself wasn't very easy,
you've got to find the extra rations for lunch.
We did used to go to the canteen.
Oh yeah.
And then play snooker, wasn't it?
Upstairs in the used to sit in the library sometimes and read. Lovely selection of books down there, wasn't there?
That's right, yes. Mind you, as I said a couple of days ago, it is so long ago, isn't it?
Yes.
It's 56 years ago when I left.
Yes.
And so it's very difficult. That's why if you, a sort of question like you say, it brings it back. It's very difficult to think back in the cold, isn't it?
Yes.
You need a
cold call, as you say.
You need a trigger somehow.
Yes. There's a let's see. Four. I've got down here names of foremen, other colleagues and friends. Had the girls started in the lab then?
No, not straight away. That was sometime afterwards. That must. been about 2 years afterwards, after I started.
Oh yes.
It was Betty Dixon was one,
yes.
Wasn't she? Because she eventually married Ken Lockhead.
Ken Lockhead, yes, oh, yes.
And she left and became a nurse at North Middlesex.
Yeah.
And when Jean went there, many years afterwards, for a bit of a gynecological examination, Betty Lockhead was the was the sister in charge.
Oh yes. Oh,
and saw her name and remembered it. She didn't know Jean, of course, because Jean worked in the office.
No.
But and there was another girl, wasn't there? But I've forgotten her name.
There was one. Honor Bacon was one.
Yes, that's
and there
right.
Was, oh yeah, one was Pat Barge.
Yes, yes.
That was one there.
Yeah. Now I remember Betty Lockhead because. Eventually, she and Ken lived near the school where I was teaching, over in Enfield.
Ken died, sadly, a few years ago.
I didn't know that.
Yes,
no.
Some years ago now. And Betty is, she's in a home now, I think. Is she's in care.
Oh,
that's the last I heard. Some time ago.
Oh, let's see.
That's the passage of time and all that.
Yes, yes, we're all getting on a bit, aren't we?
I'm
catching you up.
I should be 79 in December.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm 78 next month.
Oh, yes.
So you've got a year ahead. It's amazing. Jean's 80, yeah. She'd be 81. She'd be 81 in Christmas,
yes.
In December, and she hasn't a white hair in her head.
No.
Looks just the same.
No, I got a photograph you sent me a few years ago now, she's the same perky old self, It's all these girls, they don't wear out like we chaps,
Yes.
It's the hard life, isn't it?
She had been very, very ill about five years ago.
Oh, yes.
With acute clinical depression, which was not external, it was internal, you get chemistry, the brain goes all astray. But was a long business. She's okay now.
Oh, that's good.
With antidepressants gradually eased off, and she's off them completely now.
Oh, that's great.
That's fine.
Yes, you're enjoying living where you are, you got used to the countryside and the
Yes. It's a bit of everything. We call it the village because it is a village at Lindfield, but it's actually attached to Haywards Heath. They are joined on.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like, you hear of villages that are isolated. They haven't got a post office or anything. Our high street's got umpteen shops, about 20 shops in it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So that's very handy, isn't it? Almost within, within walking distance?
Oh, yes.
That's
in fact, I was up in the village this morning. We say, because it is a village, it's what they call a large village. And walk across the common, there's a big common with a cricket pitch on it. Two football pitches are on it.
Yes.
It's not a village green, it's a huge common.
Oh, yes.
And surrounded by houses. So it's, sort of like a green lung right in the middle.
Yes.
And it's little more than 100 yards from where I lived at the edge of the common. And behind us there's a road, and behind that, there are farms forevermore.
Yeah, yes.
So we really are in the country.
Let's see. I'm going back for a moment
to
the lab. How did you enjoy also? How did you manage your time in the CE? Everybody used to get very short-tempered, I think, when they had to do a stint in the CE room.
Yes. Oh, that was a bit of a panic, wasn't it?
Alan was there, wasn't he? Was Alan in the corner?
Yes, yes. What was his name? Alan, was it?
His surname was Alan. I never found out what his...
Wasn't he studying Russian?
Was he? Yes.
Then he eventually come in an interpreter or something years afterward.
He's a studious type.
Yes, yes. I think he used to sit there studying Russian.
Oh,
that's something that stuck in my mind. That's curious how some things you can't think of at all after I was there 4 years or something like that. And there's just odd things stick in your mind, don't they?
Yes, that's right, yes.
Would you like to hear a thing that stuck in my mind that's a bit of a scream?
Oh, certainly, yes, please.
It was 1941, in the winter. It was heavy snow. You know, it was snow everywhere. It was like a fairyland. And
41 was a bad winter.
Yes, and we were playing snowballs outside the measurement room. And you compacted a hard snowball, let fly, and it broke a window.
Yes.
And you had to go and see old Blanchard. He said, "How did you break the window?" And you said, "I was sweeping the floor, and the broom slipped." He said, "Why don't you grow up?" Said God. Sweeping the floor, you could break a window. And it wasn't a low window.
No, I remember, it was right at the top, one of the top panes, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Yes.
So I'm sorry, they are the odd things. Yes. I can't remember very much about what I did for a living there.
Yeah.
We used to go round. The section I liked, you know, when you had your turn round, was the stores.
Yeah, analysing the various acetones and cotton.
Going out sampling.
Sampling, yes, that was good fun, yes.
And in the winter, sampling glycerin, you know, it super cools, doesn't it?
Yes.
Don't let the pipette get stuck in the oil drum.
Oh, yes, because it would grab the pipette. It froze so quickly, didn't it, once you started it off?
That's right, yes.
And
going down to sample the acetone tanker, down at the main gate,
yes.
The driver, it was always the same, "For God's sake, don't drop the pipette, I'll have to take it back again." That was very varied, wasn't it?
Yes.
And quite like that.
I have been up to the old lab, the measurement room has got its doors swinging and a lot of its slates missing.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's funny. It's almost like voices come back. You stand in there, that place, it's derelict, the walls are peeling.
Yeah.
It's almost like a scene for a film.
Yeah.
And your mind goes back to when it was all the activity. Swan, used to be a bookkeeper Swan, wasn't it? Sat in the corner.
Yes. That was the least enjoyable part.
Yeah.
I quite like working at the lab while I was there.
Yeah.
But that was the least enjoyable of all, I think.
The measurement?
That ruddy coffee grinder in the middle.
Oh, yes, so the heat test room next door.
Yeah.
Pumping away, trying to grind that stuff. Yes, yeah. Dreadful.
Mm.
And you're already sort of drenched in, well, at least got a whack of NG, and then to start working on top of it is...
Yeah.
We're still here, so there we go.
Yeah. Very occasionally talking about NG, some poor soul being brought down the main walk on a stretcher back down to the hospital.
Oh, after an explosion?
No, NG head.
Oh, yes.
Sometimes it was just too much for them.
And they
backed out.
They were really in it in the houses, weren't they? I mean, just had a smell of it was enough.
Yeah. We did have two big explosions, didn't we?
Yes.
And everything rained down in the lab.
Were you actually there then? I don't know if I started then. I started a month or two after that.
Yes, I was there.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, you thought your eardrums had gone.
Did you? It was as loud as that, was it?
Oh, yes, yes. And, you know, beakers and flasks that were up on shelves, they all rained down, the windows came out.
Cool.
It was a very violent. And the odd thing I seem to remember, it was the gun cotton drying plant went up, didn't it? You know, the thick blast walls went straight up in the air.
Yes.
And it broke a shop window in Rutland.
Did it?
Yeah.
It bounced, like a sort of reflection off the...
That's right, yes. So it really was a bad do.
Yeah.
And saw some photographs afterwards, you know, that were made. And there was nothing there, it was just a crater.
Yes.
I mean, the men that were there had vaporised.
Yes.
I mean, you have a funeral, don't you? Because
Yes.
what else can you do?
I think they it was described in the burial place in the abbey, and I think what they found was all put into one urn. One put it like that.
Oh,
know?
Yes, yes.
So they never could distinguish between how many or that, you know.
No, but it shows how effective the blast walls were.
Yes.
Because, I mean, the damage was all in. I mean,
yeah.
Obviously the shock wave knocked some loose things back in the lab, but none of us were hurt or anything like that.
No.
It was just that the floor...
Was there, did somebody immediately guess it was an explosion? I suppose, of course, they would, you know. And, you know, the word must have gone around very quickly as to what had happened, I suppose.
Yes, I seem to remember that it was in the winter, and they thought that the NG from the Fidgers Green into the, is it washing plant or whatever,
yes,
had frozen in the pipe.
I see.
And it was so sensitive that possibly a low-flying aircraft or something detonated it, and that detonated the gun cotton plant next door.
Oh, yeah.
So, but that's sort of thinking
injection
back
wise.
way back. That's what we thought might have happened. But what the official thing was, obviously it was an accident, something had gone wrong, but apparently frozen NG doesn't require anything. You can presume
there's so
at
little
it.
Left, it's almost impossible to get to a confirmed conclusion.
And I think there were two explosions apart, much the same sort of thing. And one chap was bringing the NG samples, you know, the workmen up to the lab.
Yeah.
And when it went off, and he, of course, disappeared. I know he set off.
Yeah.
You know, with about 12 bottles of NG. No.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a sad bit. But other than that,
it was
pleasant.
It was quite they were quite a community, really, weren't they?
Oh, yes.
Tell us a bit about the formation of the Home Guard and the Fieldcraft School and that.
Right. Well, what happened is that, with the trouble with the Home Guard is that if you've watched too many of Dad's Army, you get the wrong impression of what it was about. But it was the local defence volunteers to start with, and then it was renamed by Churchill the Home Guard to give it proper army
status.
Backing. And so we were all part of the army in the sense that we were... Just a minute, I'll remember. We were the 56th Essex Battalion Home Guard.
Yes, that's right.
And so we were part of the Essex Regiment. Mm-hmm. And we all had to be there and join. And so we went to parades and things of that nature. And it was a bit of a lark. We were all just lads. Mm-hmm. And it would sort of establish itself in a way... It had established itself a bit like the Dad's Army, is that some of the old sweats that knew a bit about it sort of more or less took over and started to run it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, to be very... It's best if I view this from a sort of personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was ill at when I must have been... I think it was beginning when I was just about 19...
Mm-hmm.
And every time I breathed in, I got a pain in my chest. And I went to the doctor, and he didn't know what it was all about. And, you know, so it was weak as a kitten, and what was one thing and another. And I was off work for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent me, my own doctor, to the chest and lung hospital at Victoria Park,
mm-hmm.
you know, up at Hackney.
Oh, yeah.
And I went up there and had a chest x-ray and all sorts of examination by specialists, and then came back. And actually, it was rather curious because it was more or less then that the pains faded away.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to my doctor, and he said, I don't really believe this. He said, the specialist said, you've had dry pleurisy, but it's cleared up. Now, that's a sort of contradiction of terms.
Only
about 4 weeks ago, I went to see my doctor, you know, with this accident I had crashing the car.
Yes.
Well, he sent me up to the hospital for a blood test, which is a routine thing because I've got an underactive thyroid. Mm. So it has to be checked every now and then. You see, might as well have a chest X-ray. And I didn't hear anything from him. And when I went to see him about 3 or 4 weeks ago, he said, that X-ray, he said, nothing to worry about, but you've had TB.
Oh.
And that must have been it. It was just scars on the lung. But I've had X-rays since because it's a condition of teaching that you have a chest X-ray, and that didn't show up anything. So,
so it cleared itself up, do you?
Yeah, know? So anyway, so that was that. And so when I went back to the Home Guard, started back at work and reported, you know, down to the company, and said, could I do something very light, you know, the doctor been ill all this time. And they wanted somebody on the switchboard at the battalion headquarters. Meanwhile, the battalion had been taken over by Colonel Mansfield, and it was on a proper organized basis, and he was getting it all sorted out. Anyway, he formed a small signals section where we had to learn to use flags to transmit Morse code. You can do it with a single flag. Anyway, I became a corporal. And so I got a couple of stripes. And then Colonel Mansfield had decided that these characters that had got their one pip up or their whatever, he was doing all the way. Everybody would have to attend courses, and that included NCOs as well, called junior leaders courses. And there would be an examination at the end. Mm-hmm. So that's where Eric Speller and myself and I think Ozzy Blay got in all this. And as a result of this, and as a result of our examination at the end, which, of course, for the lads at the lab was absolutely dead easy.
Yes.
compared with some of these old sweats.
Yes.
And that's how we got commissioned.
Oh, yes.
So I had my pip up and... Then had a platoon and eventually had two pips up. I was a lieutenant and Eric was a major and the company commander. We were the mobile company, whereas the small arms factory, the Royal Gunpowder Factory, Waltham Abbey had companies to defend their area. The mobile company could go anywhere in support. So our mobile platoons in the company could go anywhere. And then Eric and I don't think Ozzy Blaine, I'm not sure it wasn't, Eric and I were sent on a Southern Command battlecraft school in Burwash in Sussex. Mm-hmm. And it was about a week there. And this course was run by Colonel Langdon Davis, who was a battalion commander of the International Brigade during the Spanish Civil War. So basically, this course was a sort of guerrilla warfare course, which was really the role of the Home Guard in a sense. It was no good at all just sitting there in trenches. The idea was to hit and run.
Oh, yeah.
And so when we came back after this course, Colonel Mansfield said, because this Beechill Park up at Honey Lane, where we could set up this fieldcraft school, Eric and I and Ozzy Blay and Jim G. Cock, who was a corporal at that point, we set up this fieldcraft school based on what we had learned at the Southern Command, you know, the actual army.
That's how it started.
That's how it started.
Oh, yeah.
And we used to go up in a jeep, mm-hmm. you know, the small trucks, transport everything. And this was, one day I went to the battalion headquarters, I suppose it was Saturday afternoon, and the colonel said, I want you to go up to Beechill Park, and anyway, I forget what he wanted me to go up for. I said, is there any transport? He said, no, take a motorbike. I've never been
on one before.
Well, of course, you don't say
No.
You got your two pips up. You don't say I can't ride a motorbike.
No.
So he wrote me out a ticket, you know, an authorization ticket, and I went to the transport where the jeeps and the motorbikes were, and there was a sergeant there, and I said, I've got to go to the beach with that, and I've got to take a motorbike, and I've never ridden a motorbike. Oh, no problem, he said, no problem at all. He showed me how to do it and how to change gear, and that was all right. Got up there. Coming back, you'll appreciate this. I didn't know how you came down a hill on a motorbike. So I'm out with a clutch. Bloody hell. I went down there with no...
Oh, you're coasting.
Yeah, no engine braking at all.
Yeah.
I came down Honey Lane, you know, and that... hill bit down towards the bottom, going like the clappers. Put the brakes on. I remember coming down there. Well, I think somehow or another, that this is a sort of vague. I had Jimmy G. Cock on the pillion.
Oh, yes.
And we came down there and it frightened him to death.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Anyway.
Could he ride a bike? I suppose he couldn't either.
No.
No. Yeah.
Anyway,
that's
that was
exciting,
just...
Exciting, yes.
So we used to sleep in the open up there.
Yes, I remember that because I went on the course.
That's right.
Under a bivvy.
Yes, that's right. So I've got I came across, a while back, I came across a program and that we got dated 23rd of August 1943, signed by Colonel Mansfield, and all the title. The time, the subject, the instructor, opening address, Major E. Speller.
Oh, yeah.
And,
that would be interesting. If
perhaps
you could run us off a copy if it's... Is it still in a condition that you can photocopy?
Oh, yeah. I did make some photocopies when I found it because it's getting near falling apart. In fact, I'm just looking at one at the moment. I'll send it on to you, Ron.
Oh, please.
In fact, some of it I can't remember. Quarter past three on Sunday afternoon, the science of ambush led Tennessee and Povey.
Oh, yes.
What the hell was that all about?
Oh, it's extremely interesting, Cyril.
Yeah.
It's all part of the history of the factory, you know, the home guard period. And that.
One other thing that I bought many, many years ago, it would be, 25, 30 years ago. We were out on holiday and, you know, you something to do at the seaside. And I went into a shop, I suppose it was a second-hand bookshop and so forth. And he had, you've seen them, prints that they take out of books, you know, engravings that they take out of book and sell them as little pictures. And the one, there's a man standing on a sort of platform outside a hut overlooking a canal, and it's the powder mills Waltham.
Oh, is it? Oh, yes.
And that must be Waltham, Waltham Abbey.
Oh,
it looked just like, you know.
Was it a framed piece you got?
Well, I framed it.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, I could undo it and
I don't like to ask you to do that, but I mean, if you did feel that,
make
that
a copy
sometime,
make a photocopy.
Let me see. What else? Oh, and of course, you did. One of the questions is, did you meet your future husband or wife? Well, you did, didn't you?
You know, we used to see the girls from the office walking down Powder Mill Lane.
Do you remember the dancing club? Did you used to come along to that?
Oh, yes. That's where it all happened. And harking back to the Home Guard, some of the girls from the office were in the Home Guard as, you know, as support and, first aid. And they all had to go at the 2.2 rifles. You know, we had an indoor range and so forth. And that's where...
Hilda Bucott was one, wasn't
that's
she?
That's right. Oh, yeah, that's right.
And she apparently, did you know she died recently?
No.
No, had a heard that on the grapevine. Oh yes, and they were in there, and I know the start up at this dancing club. Ben Davis and that offered to give free lessons, didn't he?
Yeah.
He and his girl up Eileen.
Yes.
But, oh yes, that was quite a Wednesday evening we used to look forward to, wasn't it?
That's right. And yeah. Anyway, about this dancing, you know, we got married on January 1944.
Yes.
When I was already going to leave the Abbey because...
you were called up for the pits, weren't you?
Well,
volunteered for something and then...
Volunteered for the army, you
yes.
see, after all this Home Guard lark. It seems bloody stupid now, but Eric had gone, hadn't he, in
yes.
the Air Force. And I had my medical and was, although I wore glasses, which I very rarely do now,
yeah.
I still read without glasses.
Oh yes.
And you know, even I could pass a driving test without glasses.
Can you? Oh, you're very lucky.
Oh yes, and I do wear them for driving. You know,
yes.
so you can see the signpost right down the road.
Yeah.
And anyway, Jean and I got married in the January 1944. And anyway, I don't suppose you remember anything about it. And
I've got a photograph of the wedding.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you took the photographs.
Yes.
And anyway, we went to back to Jean's house, and you know, nothing much happening. It was late morning, very early. I think it must have been late morning because married in the Congregational Church, and the minister was ill. And so a retired minister came and took the service, and we had the registrar from Epping. And then I said, well, what shall we do now? And then I said, well, my sister's getting married this afternoon in Edmonton, same day.
Oh, yes.
And so Jean and I went back to Edmonton, and my sister had got married, and she married my friend at you know, that I was pally with at school.
Oh,
and anyway, so that was that. So my sister Queenie and I were married on the same day.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, what are we going to do now? I said, well, there's a dance on at the factory at Waltham Abbey. So let's go there. So we got on the trolley bus. I went to Waltham Cross, got on the little bus to Waltham Abbey, and anyway, that was the dance.
Oh,
and then they said, oh, bloody hell, how are we going to get back? So they hurried off, my sister and George, they hurried off back to Waltham Cross, got the last bus to Edmonton, and June and I walked home to Chingford.
Oh yes,
all right. Along
yes.
the Thurston Road.
Yes,
January in the middle of the night.
Most romantic, yeah.
I don't know about that. Anyway, then of course that was the end of all that. And went mining,
yes.
and that was a bit of a scream for a start.
Mm.
And so anyway, eventually I volunteered to go on the face. This volunteering will do you no good at all. To go on the coal face because that's where the money is.
Oh, yes.
Was
you
mining?
Got deflected from the army into the
Irving,
didn't you?
How that happened, because they were more short of miners than they were of soldiers, if your call-up number ended in naught, you had to go mining.
Oh, yes.
After they got several of us in, they made it an option.
Yeah.
Once the scheme had gone. But for those that they sent, there was no option. And... that actually, Ron, that was where the reaction set in, that having, so, you know, obviously done so well at the Home Guard and all the rest of it, and, you know, you get carried away. It was we're still only young.
Yeah.
And then not being allowed to do it, mind you, I might have got shot, who knows, but anyway.
But no, it's, having studied and enthusiasm and all that.
Yeah, and then there was absolutely nothing. And I reacted right against it. And that's why I had no desire to go back to the Abbey, back to Waltham. And it was purely by chance, one day I was working nights.
Nights at what? Down the pit?
Down the pit,
What was this about going back to Waltham?
I didn't want to go back.
Oh, you didn't want, no.
No, no, because it was national service, so, you know, it was a chance. So I just didn't want. And this was reinforced when I was walking down where I was in lodgings, and it was in the summer, and it must have been 44. Mm. No, 47, early spring 47. Mm. And chap was standing at his gate, and he was a French master at Brunt's Grammar School in Mansfield.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, what are you going to do when you leave? Because we had army demob numbers, those of us that went down the pit.
Mm.
I said, I don't know. He said, well, I don't become a teacher. He says, there's a new scheme out. You get a grant. You don't have to pay to go to college. And that's how it happened.
Oh,
he gave me all the details and you know, the application form and so on. So it was that chap, purely by chance, he was at his front gate when I walked past, that your life changes.
Yeah.
And that's very, very odd, isn't it?
Life is strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, I know that when you were down the pits, you took quite an interest in it, in as we do anywhere that's different, because you used to tell me a tale about it. It's but it's certainly a...
this would be a bit of a scream after the way money has changed. It was contract work in the sense that you had a stint. It was 15 tons. You had to get off on your own with pick and shovel.
How long had you got to do that?
Day, each
15
day.
15 ton a day?
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord.
Well, of course, the specific gravity of coal is not like rock. I mean, obviously, it's relatively light.
Yeah.
And the skill is getting it in huge lumps. You didn't have to put it in tubs or anything. They're all on the conveyor belt.
Oh, yes.
What they call longwall mining.
Yeah.
And it was 2 shillings a ton.
Oh, yes. Two a ton, 15.
Well, work it out.
Yes.
In those days, it was 6 days a week, because you can't do a half shift. And that was £9 a week.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, of course, that was the savings that got me to college as well.
Yes. Mm.
So
that was actually quite good wages then, but hard earned, wasn't it?
It was about twice the normal wage. Yeah, so I did that for nearly 4 years. It's a very skillful job. Very, very skillful.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds such an enormous amount to do, but we used to shift it in, 5 hours.
Oh, yes.
Actually, at the face.
Yeah.
And it was as hot as hell, but plenty to breathe, you know.
Yeah.
You could feel the
air was coming through.
Yeah, you can feel it on your face.
Oh,
it was, took everything away.
Mm.
But it was what they call a fiery mine. Loads of methane out of the coal.
Yeah.
So, you know, had to be very, very careful.
Yes.
And when sometimes the coal cutter hit Pyrites, the sparks came out, looked like black. Oh, yeah, panic.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's all over and done with now.
Yes. Your account has been extremely, Catholic, covered everything, you know. It's very interesting indeed. Let's see, I don't think there's... that's about it, I think.
Right.
All right then. Well, I don't know if not just now, but I don't know if Jean, if she wants to add a few words, I can make it a later date, you know. But,
yes. Well, the rectory be in contact.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to send us this one, two little bits of paperwork, and you can mention on there how Jean feels about it, you know.
Well, I'll send you this copy of the program, because for all I know, there may not be one about.
No.
You know, the Home Guard thing.
Oh, no.
So, anyway.
Get that,
I've got there's no point. The original was just a copy anyway.
Yeah,
just a type copy.
Yeah.
And a photocopy looks much much better.
Rub it with a bit of tea leaves and...
Distressing.
Yeah, distressing,
Anyway, talking about Gene, how's... How's Frieda?
Oh, she's all right. Yeah, she's about last year or so, a year ago, she contracted a bit of angina, and she's been on pills and that, but that seems to be under control now, and she's still painting. She's painting now, I expect. I'm down the bottom of the garden in a little shed. And she's painting, yes.
It's not labelled dog house, is it?
No, dog house, yeah. Oh, yes. We're both very busy, you know, and keeping going. And that's the main thing. Keep yourself occupied.
Oh, that was Jean was saying, a day or so ago. Any chance of you coming to either see us for the day or stay with us for a couple of days?
Yeah, well, I don't like motoring too far these days, but you're on the not far from some sort of train service, are you?
Oh, the train service is excellent.
Oh, yes.
Hayward Heath has four platforms.
Yes.
And, that's only 2 miles from here. Yeah. And from Victoria to Hayward Heath, they're frequent.
Oh, yes.
So, anyway, give it some thought.
Yes, I certainly will.
So, I mean, you can get to Victoria easily enough.
Yes.
And actually, there are trains not quite so frequent from London Bridge to Hayward Heath as well. The trains that come through Hayward Heath coming south, some go to Brighton, some go to Eastbourne, some go to Portsmouth.
Oh, yes.
So,
it's well covered, yes.
Oh, yes. And very few go through without stopping.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, there is a train that comes through Hayward Heath twice a day.
Yes.
That one half goes to Glasgow and the other half to Edinburgh.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. That's good. How far are you from Hayward Heath Station, then?
About 2 miles.
Oh, yes.
On the taxis, I don't mean minicabs, proper taxis. There's a whole line of them there.
Oh, yes.
People use taxis around here more than buses.
Oh, well,
obviously, they're a bit more expensive than the bus, but very easy. Mm. You know, come out the station, get the first taxi and come into Lindfield.
That
would be very nice.
That's the way to do it, isn't it?
Anyway, we'll be in touch again, Ron.
Yes.
And see if we can arrange.
Well, it's wonderful speaking to you after all these years, Cyril. This is sort of, one might say, a sidekick from this job of taking recordings. You'd be surprised how many facts and figures I've discovered in phoning people up and getting it down on tape. It opens up, associations which could easily sort of be forgotten about forever, but at least it revives them. Yeah,
that's right. We're both members of the.
Please hold the line.
Right.
Please hold the line.
Hello.
Hello.
It was me fiddling about.
Oh, no. All right then, Cyril. Okay, it's I'll tell you a quick one about that. About the voice, it just came over.
Yeah.
My boy works at BT. You know, you get 147 when you can get the old number.
Yeah.
And I said to him one day, I said, do you know? I said, just tell me your BT people taught a bit of manners to your staff. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, do you know that girl who tells you the number on the end of the phone there? Yes, he says. I said, well, whenever I use it, I always say, thank you, miss, very kind of you. But she never blooming well answers me. He says, you silly ass.
Oh, quite. Yeah.
All right, then.
Yeah, okay, Ron.
Tell him, mate.
Be in touch.
Bye. Bye-bye.